Welcome to Embrace It All with Angela Adams. Hey, everybody, welcome back. So my 5 weeks in Medford, my last 5 weeks in Medford has come to a close, or is coming to a close in 3 days. And I have a lot of mixed emotions right now. In fact, these last 5 weeks have been just a myriad of emotions. And I wanted to share some things with you today, some things that I've experienced, some things that I've learned and am continuing to learn as I go through this. So it's kind of bittersweet knowing that this will be the last time, probably, well, almost the last time that I will ever be in Medford for an extended period of time. And I'm experiencing some sadness about that. About 10 years ago, our daughter and son-in-law, when he graduated from school and became a pharmacist, they decided to move to Oregon. And they took our first grandchild. And that was hard. I'm not going to lie. I wasn't super excited about that. But I also knew that it would be a great opportunity for them to be able to establish their own family. They first moved to Klamath Falls, Oregon, and I decided early on that I was going to do everything I could to get out and visit them as much as possible. And for those first 2 years, I did just that. I even stayed a week just to watch Parker by himself when Jessica and Dan went to the coast, which was a lot of work, and it was so awesome at the same time. 2 years later, they were thinking that they were going to move back to Arizona, but then another job opportunity came up for my son-in-law in Medford, Oregon, and they decided to go ahead and take it. And that's where they've been ever since. So for the last 8 years, they've created so many memories here in Medford, Oregon, actually Central Point, Oregon, to be exact, but in the Medford area. And again, I decided that I was going to do everything in my power to be here as often as I could. Now, there was a time in those 8 years that I had the opportunity and I took a full-time job. And it was a great job. I'm not going to lie, I really enjoyed it. I enjoy the people I worked with. But towards the end of the first year, I started getting strong impressions that I needed to quit my job. And it helped because the nature of the job started changing. And I wasn't really excited about where it was going and how much time it was going to actually take and such. But at the same time, I had a strong impression, a strong feeling that I needed to quit. I needed to quit that job and I needed to spend more time with my grandkids. By that time, Jessica and Dan had three boys, and that impression just kept coming stronger and stronger. Now, in all reality, when you really looked at the situation, it didn't make sense, right? All my children were gone. I was an empty nester. Dave was still working full-time, and it made sense that I should have a full-time job, but that impression came so strong. So I followed that impression. I decided that even though it didn't make complete sense, that I was going to quit so that I could spend as much time as possible here in Oregon with my daughter and her family. And I did. I have been here for birthdays. I've been here for potty training weeks with, I think, all four kids, maybe all three kids, the three youngest kids. I've been here for field trips. I've been here just for fun. I've been here for summers. I've been here to watch them Jessica and Dan traveled for dance marathons. And I have not regretted it one bit. Now, it's interesting because the day that Jessica died and the days that followed, I realized why I had that strong impression to quit. I needed to know, like the back of my hand, the routines of Jessica and Dan's household. I needed to know how my grandsons did things. I needed to know where things were. I needed to know all of that. And at the time, it just came really naturally because I was here a lot. But then after she died, and I have been coming and staying for a month at a time, it has been such a blessing to have already had that established, to already have all of that knowledge and the familiarity that came with being here. And so the first thing I wanted to share with you is this. Sometimes we get those impressions, we get those feelings. Some people call it those gut feelings. I call it strong impressions. I call it impressions from the spirit that don't always make sense. And really, they don't. And they might not make sense for years. But I wanted to encourage you, those that are listening, to when you get those impressions, and especially if they keep coming, to follow them, even if they don't make sense, because I have realized even more that those impressions are from God. And He sees the full picture. I've said this over and over again these last several months. He sees the complete picture. And we don't always see it. But He does, and those impressions are coming from Him. And when we follow them, it will be for a reason. So follow those impressions as they come. Another thing that I've experienced these last 5 weeks has been, like I said, lots of emotions. One of those emotions has been anger. It's interesting. Last week, I recorded a podcast, but I haven't published it because I just didn't like how it felt. And probably because I was still in the middle of that emotion, that anger emotion. And it just didn't feel right. So today I wanted to talk about that. I felt a lot of anger. The second week that I was here, all of a sudden, these feelings of anger started overwhelming me. I didn't like it. I didn't like feeling angry at all. And so I did several things. I stuffed that anger down. I tried to ignore that anger. The problem is, like I've taught here on the podcast from the very beginning, when we ignore those emotions, what happens? They get louder and louder and louder. Well, that's what happened. The anger just kept getting louder and louder. And then I went into judgment because, heaven forbid, I shouldn't judge, right? I've said all along that God has a plan and I don't understand it. And so I kept judging myself. Like, how dare I feel anger when I know that God has a plan? I shouldn't feel anger. I shouldn't. Well, guess what? The anger was still there and it got louder. And so one night I remember just being so frustrated, and I felt again an impression to sit with that anger, to just sit with it, let it be there. And so I did. I let it be there. Anger is one of those emotions that will come as you grieve. It might come at the very beginning. It might come in waves. It might not come till later on. But you will probably experience anger. And that's what I was experiencing. And so I sat with it. I didn't judge myself anymore for it because I realized that even Christ felt anger. He felt anger when he cleansed the temple. He felt angry at all those people who were defiling his father's house. So I knew that Christ understood my anger. And so as I sat with my anger and I thought about why was I feeling so angry? I realized it came from the thought, it shouldn't be this way. It should not be this way. This is not how life was supposed to happen. My daughter and my son-in-law were supposed to grow old together. They were supposed to raise their boys, see their boys get married together. My daughter should not be dead. That's where my anger was coming from. Thinking that things should be different. Now, as I thought about that, I had a couple of experiences. One of them was I started mourning the loss of what I thought should have been. And then I realized, how do I know that this is not, or this was supposed to happen? How do I know that this actually should have happened? I don't know that this was probably supposed to happen or not. And so sitting in that should have phase, thought, whatever you want to call it, I realized as I questioned that thought that maybe it should have. Maybe it happened exactly the way it was supposed to happen all along. And when I did that, I felt my anger start to dissipate. And that was an interesting feeling. And then I was able to go to God in prayer and express my anger, but also express again the trust that I have in His plan. Remember at the very beginning, that was the impression I had, was to trust Him. During this time, as I was sitting in my anger, I read a talk entitled The Infuriating Unfairness by Dale G. Renland. He's a renowned heart surgeon, and he's also an apostle for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And he says this, he says, "No, some unfairness cannot be explained. Jessica dying and leaving a husband and four little boys seems so unfair, doesn't it?" It is. Sometimes it just can't be explained. And life is unfair. I remember my sister just several weeks ago telling me of one of her best friends who right now is dying of colon cancer and how unfair that is. She's only in her mid-40s. Life is full of unfairness. But he reminds us that there is one who understands and has the power to provide a remedy for all the unfairness that we experience in this life. And that is Christ. Now think about it. We just celebrated Easter. And as I've been revisiting that last week of Christ's life, I'm realizing just how unfair he was treated. Here, this perfect human being who offered nothing but compassion to everyone, everyone, even those that crucified him, he offered compassion. Nothing in this world, nothing that we experience will ever compare to the unfairness that Christ suffered. It wasn't fair that he suffered for my pain and my sins. Was it? It wasn't. And so, I realize that I can always trust. I can always turn to him, even in my anger, even in my sadness. I can turn to him because he knows. He knows what I'm feeling. And I can trust that our loving Heavenly Father will consecrate the unfairness that we experience in this life to our benefit. And that all of our unfairness will be made right in the end. Now, that doesn't mean that as I go through day to day to day, that I will never experience that feeling of anger, that I will never have that question of, or I will never mourn how I thought life should be. No, I think that's part of the experience of grief. And it's going to come in waves. It's going to come in those times where I miss Jessica the most. But going back to that knowledge that I have that all of this unfairness will be made right again, and that God has the power to do that. But until then, I can learn. I can learn from all of this. I can learn how to become more compassionate. I can learn how to turn to my Savior when I'm feeling like I can't do it another day, when I'm so completely exhausted and I don't think I can do this. That I can turn to Him and He will provide the people in my life that will help me. He will provide that extra strength that I need. Now, those of you that might be experiencing grief or might be experiencing that unfairness of life, I want to tell you, I get it. I know. And it's completely normal to experience those feelings of anger, even. It's completely normal. And God knows this, and Christ knows this. But we have an opportunity to choose, right? We have an opportunity to choose to turn to them when we are experiencing these things. And I promise you that it might take several days because it took me several days to pull out of that anger. And it might take you several days too, but if you just trust that he knows, trust that he has the perfect knowledge, that he knows the end from the beginning. That he will help you through that anger. I know this. And to those friends who I've made in Medford, I'm going to miss you. It's been such a privilege to get to know all of you. Jessica and Dan have some wonderful neighbors, and thanks to their little boys, they know them all and they know them very well. And I've made some great friends here who have buoyed me up and have supported me along this journey. And so as I leave this chapter, It is bittersweet. But I'm grateful for those memories, and I'm so grateful to have followed that impression. All right, my friends, that's what I have for you this week. I don't know when I'll be back. Hopefully, it'll be sooner than later. But have a great week, and I'll talk to you soon.